We're just okay and we play some movies. We're just okay.
Movie watchers.
Welcome back to Just Okay Movies. I'm your host, Biggie Size, and I'm joined by
Guido on this very first take of this podcast.
The very first one. No previous takes.
And Wally. I'm actually kind of amazed we're doing it all in one go.
Well, fellas, you all doing okay?
Oh, man. My
feet
hurt.
Doing just okay.
Your feet? Why do your feet hurt?
Because I've been kicking ass all day.
Oh, my. That's what I like to hear. High energy.
Yeah, I kicked this day in the fucking ass.
Oh, I believe you, man. Well, welcome back. We kind of decided we wanted to start off our discussions with talking about the last movie that we've seen and just kind of talk about how we felt about it and things like that. So, Guido, I'm going to start with you, man. What was the last film you watched?
Last movie I watched, which was last night, was Alien Covenant. You seen this? You heard about this?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Fairly recent. Last year? I think it was last year it came out, or year before that.
Yeah, it was about a year. It was about a year ago.
Are you a big Alien fan?
You know, I like the franchise, but if you really put my feet to the fire, I think there's probably two, maybe three good movies out of the eight that have been made or so.
Yeah, there was a downward trajectory, in my opinion. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, what was your thought of Covenant?
Covenant was better than Prometheus.
Okay.
But that's not saying much. But it was still also not great. Ridley Scott returned to make it. So that I was excited to watch it just to see him return to his beloved franchise. And, it was disappointing. I'm going to give a big spoiler right now. You guys know James Franco's in this movie?
Right.
He's in it for about 20 seconds until he doesn't get a single line out and burns to death in his hypersleep pod.
Wow, this sounds like the best James Franco movie.
Yeah, it's actually the roast of James Franco.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh no! You go ahead and finish your feelings on it.
Yeah, it was cool to see. It basically covers the aliens that we all love and know were genetically produced.
Oh. And
it shows how it gets from one step to the other. If you remember in Prometheus, they had those. No one remembers Prometheus. They had those kind of like white faceless aliens.
Those were the progenitors, I think, right?
Like, yeah, some they all have fucking names that are all canon now, but no one ever remembers what they are.
The pilot and shit like that.
Yeah. apparently the new or the current aliens, the one that we all know, was made off of those. On this planet by one of the synthetics who's played by Michael Fassbender. And so he's genetically modifies aliens and uses them to eventually find the best way to incubate them is in a human corpse or a human's body. So he's the one that actually made that genetic leap because before they were just spores that would enter a human's, through their mouth or nose and then burst out of the spine. It was actually
Whoa.
A little bit cooler than the chest burster.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah, so there's some neat little things in there just going on how these aliens were made. But it suffers from the typical alien tropes where people make stupid decisions and you're asking why are they doing this. One person goes off alone, everybody's on an alien planet, they discover an alien civilization had lived there, they're in the ruins of their city and they're wandering off one at a time instead of being like, holy shit, this is, you know, essentially first contact and we're in an alien civilization, and none of them are confused or worried about their situation with the spine bursters. It was just, you know, alien kind of tropes that you've seen once, you've seen them 100 times, and they followed that alien formula pretty well.
Would you classify this movie as being a suspense, horror, action, a bit of a blend?
It's yeah, a bit of a blend.
Okay.
It's more gruesome than it is.
Yeah, it's all anything. Which is sad, because that's another sign of the downturn in the IP for me.
Right. There's no very tense scenes where you know that people are being hunted and they don't know they're being hunted. You know, like, that's what made Alien and Aliens good. And it was just, everybody knew there was an alien. Everybody knew that they had to fight it or run from it. It was just like there was nothing left to the imagination.
Is Ridley Scott a hack? I want your opinions, because
just the way you phrased it.
It's such a hard-hitting question in nowhere.
I've always wanted to be one of those people on shows that just gives the questions. What, an interviewer? I always thought that'd be so much fun. So I've enjoyed this. But I want your clear opinion. I kind of think he's a bit of a hack. I think he got lucky with a couple of films. And since then, the rest of them have been subpar to mediocre. Like, what's the two films you think of? Alien and Blade Runner. Those were his two big films that at least everyone
Gladiator
knows.
Gladiator also.
Yeah,
that Gladiator. Won an Academy Award for Best Picture.
Gladiator was good.
It's good. It's
one of the best movie endings ever for me. Like the epilogue at the end, where he's like, "I will see you again, but not yet." It's like, I love that fucking movie, man.
That's true. Gladiator was pretty good. So maybe he's not that big of a hack. Maybe he's just a little overrated. Like maybe.
Oh, it's heavily overrated.
I think people know what they're getting with Ridley Scott. He has had a few good ones, but the ones that aren't so good far outweigh the ones that everybody loves.
Right, right. I mean, I totally agree.
He's hitched his name to the alien wagon. I mean, it prints money for him, and I think Fox knows that. Doesn't Fox own the rights to it? Like, he's just sort of like the pitch man because he came up with the original idea.
Right.
Yeah, he's become like the George Romero of the alien kind of idea. Just like George Romero. Well, I guess George Romero made a bunch of fucking zombie flicks. I shouldn't really compare the two.
Yes, he did.
And I think he had final say on most of the creative property. I don't think he had a lot of final say on some of the latter.
At the end there,
shit.
Though, there were a lot that were being pumped out that you know he was just, they were just popping his name on.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially
the pinnacle. The pinnacle of the cash-in is the Alien versus Predator franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the ultimate cash-in right there. Those are bad.
Yeah, they are a bit bad. I kind of miss those versus movies, like Freddy versus Jason and stuff like that. I was hoping they'd kind of crank out more, but they just kind of died off quick.
And not to cross the streams, but it's also the impetus for one of the best FPS games on the PC ever made, Alien versus Predator 2.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it was very good.
And was the brainchild, or at least the muse to Natural Selection.
Yes, yes.
That's true. So, you know, we got a lot to thank. Isn't it more of a broader question for me? This might be too big for the pod, but do you think a lot of our major franchises are getting too, like, ubiquitous or iconoclastic? Like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but now Star Wars is almost a thing. Like, it's beyond itself. Star Trek now is almost beyond itself. Alien, the idea of Alien and all this stuff. Like, I'm worried that we're sort of devolving into, like, just, well, here's the next Alien movie. Here's the next Star Wars thing. And it's killing off, you know what I'm going with this.
It's been that way for so long. It's been that way since the early 2000s. Where the sequels and the franchise buyouts, adaptations just started fucking coming, because that's why I mentioned last week Annihilation. I liked it because it's based on a book, but it was new to me.
Yeah.
And I just like it when you get one of those movies that, like a John Wick, that just pop out of nowhere and don't have any basis on any existing franchise.
Yeah.
And are just awesome.
And I'd say the same thing about Blade Runner, going back to Ridley Scott. One of his good movies, you know, how different it was, how it wasn't, as far as I know, not, I don't even know if it was based on a book or anything.
I think this is one of the reasons why it's one of the most loved films ever made. I mean, it's up there.
Right, right. It's, I mean, the film's kind of a slog through the beginning. It's slow. It's paced out like a noir with heavy sci-fi influence, but it's worth it for the end. The final scene with him and the bad guy is what makes that film so memorable and wonderful and makes it worth that trek. But it is a great one. Wally, what have you watched? Show us the last film you saw.
Last film I saw? You Were Never Really Here. I got an early view of it from a cam recording.
Oh, I've never heard of it. What's it about?
It's got Joaquin Phoenix in it. It was a leaked copy for I think it was Sundance for Cannes. It's Cannes.
Oh, okay.
And it was it's very short. Well, it's not short, but it's a very tight, like, hour and a half. And it like do you want to spoil the whole thing? I don't want to, because I don't think it's even out yet. But basically, it's an FBI agent with like post-traumatic stress, trying to track down a young girl that's been kidnapped that belong. It's almost like a traditional story, like almost like an 80s. Like a solo hero film, but it's been colored by contemporaneous ideas involving human trafficking and post-traumatic stress and in like a passive violence, and, you know, a guy's idea of himself as a failure or as a hero. It's interesting.
Wow, that sounds really good.
Phoenix looks like a hobo in this.
Yeah, he's like damaged goods in this movie.
He's essentially Killer 6ix9ine.
He's Killer 6ix9ine. He actually he was like a protagonist. I gotta find this girl. I think the closest approximation to this film to another film I've seen is A History of Violence.
Oh yes.
And if you like A History of Violence, you're gonna really like this.
Okay, I'm gonna have to check that out then. I did enjoy History of Violence. That was a fun film. That's the guy who played Aragorn, right? He was the main character in that.
History, yes.
I can't remember the actor's name. Well,
Morgan Vergensen.
Yeah, Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen. There you go.
Right. That was a good film. Well, very good. Well, I say we go ahead and move on to our main topic of discussion for this week. This week, we're going to talk about movies that we just gave up on, primarily walking out of the theater. I've had that instance. I think probably all of us have had that instance where
done it as a child?
As a child, I cannot say I did. I loved everything as a child. I kind of love everything right now, but it takes a lot.
What?
Everything's amazing.
Everything is amazing.
Handbag. You guys know that?
No, I do not.
I'll have to share it with you later.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to talk about films that we just gave up on. Let's start with walking out of the theater. I think that's probably the biggest protest you can do, is just be sitting there, you pay for your ticket, you're watching the film, you're just like, I'm done with this, and you just walk out. Wally, I'll start with you, man. What was the film, or at least the most memorable film you can remember that you walked out on in theater?
I just saw the link, sorry. The film I walked out on, I was 8 years old, and it was the 1989 holiday film Prancer. Directed by John Hancock.
You were just like, I'm done.
I tell you, I was there with a friend because my mom like was shopping at the near. It was back when, you know, the movie theater and the mall were kind of a package deal, and I think there's still a few places that do that. But she was out shopping, and she had me and a friend bought us tickets. We went to go see it, and we're thinking, okay, cool holiday film, whatever. Dump the kids off. I was gung ho. I go, whatever, free movie. And it was about, if I'm not mistaken, is 103 minutes. Yeah, we can see it's 103 minutes long. I made it about halfway through where I just got so bored. I was walking and crawling up and down the aisle. We were like, we were firing like Nerf shit at each other and throwing bean, you know, like we had like, I think we had like GAC. I don't know if you remember GAC. We were like fucking around with our GAC that we had on hand.
Bring GAC to the movie theater.
Yeah, what did you have?
You sound horrible, like a horrible child.
For some GAC reason or another, one of us had GAC. I should clarify that this is a very empty theater almost. Like, my mom was big on matinees because it saved money. So she took us to the matinee. So it's like Saturday morning, matinee of this fucking awful Christmas. I don't remember anything about it. I remember being horribly bored. And I'm not bored at movies as a kid. I loved movies. And this was absolutely untrackable, this movie. Like, the plot, the writing, whatever. We were both so bored out of our minds. We basically took everything out of our arsenal in our pockets to just occupy our time. And I think eventually we just gave up, left, and went into the arcade. Let's date this even more. Went into the arcade that was built into the movie theater at the time and just played like fucking Outrun and I think Operation Wolf and shit for like the last 20 minutes with some quarters we had between us, because it was just that bad.
Damn, yikes. That sounds terrible. Man, you're a cool ass kid carrying GAC and Nerf guns around.
Yeah, well, we had a fucking commercial. Walking commercial.
we had some kind of handgun Nerf thing, and then we also had one GAC between the two of us. So I don't know. I can't tell you whose it was. It was either mine or his. But we made use of that.
Hey, Brent, pass
GAC.
The GAC over here. That's I want to play. Give me a turn with the GAC, Brent.
That's what we said. Give me a turn with the GAC. Because we were doing that. Can I have the GAC now? I'm bored. Shit like that. It was so bad.
Damn, that sounds bad.
All I know is that the movie revolved around the Prancer, the reindeer. But I couldn't for the life of you tell you.
Bro, it's anything got a 67 on Rotten Tomatoes, dude. Certified fresh.
Had Sam Elliott in it. How could it be bad?
Oh, yeah. My God. I'm going to check this out. Well, Guido, how about you, man? What was the movie you had to just leave the theater? You couldn't stay in it.
I honestly have one, but it was like a Saved by the Bell moment. Ooh. It wasn't, I didn't choose to leave. I had to leave, but I'm glad that I had to leave. So when my daughter was probably like a year old, 2 years old. I had her for the weekend. I had just dropped her back off at her mom's house, and I went to my buddies to go see a movie, and that movie was Ghost Rider.
Oh
yeah. And, I got a call halfway through. I forgot her, like, you know, her special blankie, forgot it at home, so I had to leave the theater to go bring it back to her. But boy, I was like, you know, this doesn't inconvenience me at all, in fact. Nice work. Ghost Rider was just a piece of trash, and coming from a comic book fan who, like, I see a comic book movie and I go, that's probably up there with one of the worst comic book movies I've ever seen.
Do you ever think back on the pre-Marvel era that we had to live with for so long, where somebody would be like, hey, we got this franchise we just got to be paid $5 for from, you know, and let's make a movie, you know, and we just blown away by how bad it was.
Like, yeah.
All the way up to Fantastic Four.
Right. Blade did it really well. Blade's like one of the few ones before the Marvel Cinematic Universe that actually
Blade's
had
one of the few.
A working franchise that was good. Each movie worked upon itself and got better, maybe with the exception of Trinity. But I don't walk out of movies. I figure if I'm in the theater and I paid for it, I'm going to sit there and fucking watch it and then talk mad shit when I'm done with it.
How much of Blade was Wesley Snipes, do you think?
How
much credit do we want to give him for that?
Not much.
I
was going the other way with
it. Yeah, he was a martial arts expert.
He encapsulated, well, I don't know anything about the comic books. I didn't even know it was a comic book. So I just based on the film itself. I think he was good at like encapsulating that character he was trying to be, but I felt like the plot was really more interesting than he was just good at facilitating the plot, kind of like a Neo in the Matrix. Neo himself isn't really that great, but he just works really well as a character in the plot. The plot's way more interesting than he is, but not that he was by any means bad.
I can't think of any the African-American actors in the early 2000s that would fill that role better than Wesley Snipes.
Oh, sure. Sure. That's true. Yeah, that's very true. I mean,
Wesley Snipes is Blade, Biggie size.
He is Blade.
And he did a good job being Blade. I enjoyed both those movies. Those one of the few times where I watched them back to back because I just had to get more. But Trinity did kind of suck. But it wasn't terrible, but wasn't great either. I was actually going to ask you about Ghost Rider. I felt like when I heard that he was being cast as Ghost Rider, then I learned a little bit more about the character. I was really excited to see him, and I've just blanked on his name.
Nicolas Cage?
Thank you. Because of films like Wicker Man and stuff like that where he just kind of goes batshit crazy. Like, oh, yeah. This will be great, but he looks so bored and uninterested. He was bored Nicolas Cage when I wanted batshit crazy Nicolas Cage. And it just didn't happen. I think if he did that, or at least try to be a little more goofy, at the very least, it could have been more tolerable. But I agree. It was just completely boring. I don't blame you one bit.
Yeah, it was like the villain was uninspiring, and I just didn't give a shit. It took him way too long to set his head on fire. And that's what everybody's there for that knows Ghost Rider. They want to see a fucking skull-headed dude with chains wrapped around him riding a goddamn motorcycle that's on fire. And it takes like an hour and a half to get there, and then there's 20 minutes left in the movie.
Right, right, absolutely. The chick was hot.
That was Eva Mendez.
Yeah, she was probably the only reason why I kept watching. She's just a cutie pie. I love her to death. Well, my film is not nearly as interesting. And it was
what's your film?
It was about 3 years ago when I first moved down here to Texas, I believe. I had nothing else to do. Megan, my later become my wife, was in Tennessee. My wife. So I was down here. I didn't know anyone. I'll go see a movie. Why not? I went to go see a little film called Tomorrowland.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait. You
know, go ahead.
Tomorrowland, is that?
Clooney vehicle.
A Clooney vehicle, which is already, you're like, you know, what kind of Clooney are we going to see? Is he going to be a little bit more interesting or just basically George Clooney, which was exactly holy what shit. He was?
I forgot about this movie.
Yeah, I think everyone did. I did after I left. Yeah, it wasn't long ago. I like the idea. You know, Tomorrowland at Disney World is a lot of fun. It's iconic, truly an iconic area of Disneyland or Disney World. And I thought they could do some pretty cool stuff with a film for this. And I hadn't heard much about it. Thought, you know, this could be kind of a little sleeper hit of theirs. And I left after about 30 minutes of them wandering around this stupid fucking house and none of it making any sense. And it's one of those films where you're following around the stupid fucking kid who's just like, I'm a kid and, you know, things are just not going so great for me, but I'm doing well and I'm about to go on a great adventure. I just don't know it yet. I'm like, fuck you. I don't give a shit. I'm like, where's fucking George Clooney? Oh, what's up?
Just you hate it so much. I'm amazed.
Well, the problem is the film itself is not a bad movie. Well, at least the 30 minutes I saw of the film was not necessarily bad. It wasn't good. It was just boring. And I think that is the worst thing your film can be. It's just, you know, middle of the road, boring. I'd rather it be really bad or really good. And at least I can get something from it. Like, you know, that's why I love Battlefield Earth. It's interesting because they tried to do something that they had no capability of doing. Try to reach a height that none of them could do. And it was fascinating to watch them see like little instances of, oh, I see what they're trying to do there. It sucked the way they did it, but I can learn something from it at the very least. Where this, I felt like they hit everything they wanted to hit, but it was so goddamn boring. and
I had that fun little robot fighting part, you know.
Oh, I didn't make it that far. They were still in that dumb house, and a bunch of people like busted in with like these weird looking gun things. I was like, I'm done, and I think I went to like go eat some Thai food or something. And I had a lot more fun doing that.
Thai food is delicious.
Thai food is really, really good. Way better than Tomorrowland. And
may I read a review of Tomorrowland from the New York Times that I think summarizes your feelings?
Oh, please.
It is important to note that Tomorrowland is not disappointing in the usual way. It's not just another glib, phoned-in piece of franchise mediocrity, but rather a work of evident passion and conviction. What it isn't in any way is convincing or enchanting.
I agree. Absolutely. You know, you've got to draw them in. You know, you've got that window of getting people hooked. And it just didn't have anything. And I felt like the kid was the weakest point. You can have good kid actors. You just have to use them right. And I'm sure that chick is really, really nice. I'm sure she's a good actress. I don't blame her. I heard she
cuts puppies.
Oh, wow. Well, at least she might be a good actress. She may be a shit human being. But you just got to use them right. And the beginning of that was so rough. I just couldn't do it. So I think that's the only film I've walked out on. The other one I should have was Transformers 2. But my friend and I stayed through that one. And we
The actually, Dark of the Moon?
No, the second one.
What's the second one?
Revenge. Is it Revenge of the Fallen?
Revenge of the Fallen? No, Revenge of the Fallen's. Wait, I don't know.
It's the one where they go to the pyramids and that one robot has two testicles. And they make fun of it. This is one of those
situations where I actually do not know.
It is Revenge of the Fallen. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, okay.
He has testicles.
Yeah, he's like crawling up this pyramid and there's those two wisecracking racist robots are like looking from behind him, and he's got like demolition balls, but they're both together.
Oh.
And they're like made fun of it somehow. I don't know. It was my friend and I tried to go and get our money back. We said, just give us the money back that would go to the actual film. You guys keep your part. And she just looked at us a little crazy. I'm like, eh, we tried. But it's just I didn't like it. I went back and watched Star Trek again. For the seventh time.
Yeah, is that the one? Is Revenge of the Fallen the one where the Autobot pisses on John Turturro?
I think so. It's the one with all the dumb shit in it.
Yeah,
that's the one. but anyways, I think the only one I've walked out on was Tomorrowland. So that was my story. Well, we'll go ahead and open up for one more. What about a film on? A film you rented or a film that was on Netflix or something that offended you so much that you just had to stop watching.
I got one that comes immediately to mind.
Go for it, Guido.
A little title called Suicide Squad.
Oh, boy.
Suicide Squad. Couldn't make it through the hour-long introductions of various characters. Like, each one gets their own fucking little music video. Literally half the movie is that bitch and someone else sitting at a restaurant talking about who's going to be on the Suicide Squad. Do you remember this? Have you seen this?
I have not, but I've heard about it. I've heard that it's very lengthy and tedious.
They're in a restaurant for half of the movie. And they're like, well, what about Deadshot? And then it goes into like Deadshot's backstory. And then it cuts back to them eating dinner. And they're like, okay, sounds good. What about Harley Quinn? And then it cuts to Harley Quinn's backstory. And they do this for each character until finally, like an hour and 10 minutes in the movie, they get the Suicide Squad together for some fucking bullshit piece of shit goddamn heist or whatever. That you just don't give a shit because you had to sit through all these goddamn introductions. And I shut it off because I was horribly bored and the pacing was all wrong. It was a bunch of characters I didn't give a shit about. And fucking DC can't make good movies.
Absolutely. I'm not sure what it is. They just don't have faith in any of their directors or writers, but it's just constantly you hear the struggle of them rewriting things or reshooting scenes. I think they said it was like over 50% of this was reshot and then re-edited. They actually had like two or three different editors putting films together that were completely different. It's crazy. I don't know how often that really happens, but it sounds like it's way more frequent in DC films.
Yeah, that movie was just it was a disappointment too, because it's a novel idea.
Sure, absolutely. That's a cool concept, and it seemed like the actors were decent. I didn't hear anything bad about the people playing the roles, but I heard the same thing, that the editing was just extremely tedious, especially that first hour or so when they're bringing all the characters in. That just sounds like a terrible way of doing
it. It was all exposition.
Right.
It was risky of DC. It was like, it was a team of anti-heroes that nobody really knew about in the mainstream population. They don't know who some of these people are.
Sure.
They might know Harley Quinn, but they don't, sure as fuck don't know Deadshot, who is Will Smith's character. And they took an idea of the Suicide Squad and ran with it and decided to make a movie. So I give them credit for trying to do something like that instead of just making, a Flash film or something with another Green Lantern. So good on them, but man, they just executed it so fucking poorly.
Absolutely. Well, what about you, Wally? Anyone come to mind?
No, I just thought of that one. I can't think of anything that really kind of disgusted me recently that I just couldn't, carry on or anything.
Sure. I haven't really either. I'm pretty happy about anything. I think the last film on Netflix I shut off was Civil War. And it's because I just couldn't handle seeing another Marvel film at that point. I just didn't. Spider-Man. Spider-Man was definitely the last one I turned off. I just couldn't finish. And which I hate, because I was really excited for that new Spider-Man Homecoming. And I just didn't like the Peter Parker. I don't know. I just didn't care for him. I guess I'm just too tied to
Tommy McGuire.
No, I got to where they're in the gym, and he goes up to talk to that girl about something, about knowing Spider-Man. I'm like, I can't do this. This is just too awkward, and I just don't like it.
But that's Spider-Man, man.
I know.
That's totally Spider-Man, yeah.
I don't care about this little kid. There's nothing I liked about it. No,
just stay right there. I just love how your summary of Spider-Man is, I don't care about this little kid. Because like Guido said, I mean, that's Spider-Man. It's just this teenager with powers and responsibility and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
All right, just for future reference, let's go over just a few of the films that Biggie either likes or hates. Batman and Robin, loves it. Black Panther, absolutely hates it.
Yeah.
I called it the turd.
Battlefield Earth, likes it.
Spider-Man Homecoming, absolutely trash. Turned it off. Come on, Biggie.
I know, man. I've got a strange taste in films. It's, just some films just, they hit me right, and I'm like, all right, I like this. It's a piece of crap movie that doesn't deserve any praise, but I'm down with it. Just like with, I didn't expect to even like Dungeons and Dragons. I was shocked at how much I actually enjoyed that. And, it's just in other films like Homecoming, like, I see what you're doing, it's fine, this is exciting stuff. It's just not for me.
Can I spoil Homecoming for you?
Oh, please do.
Okay. So you know the girl that he was pining after?
The little black lady.
Yeah, the little black lady. Tyson.
I don't know her name. No, I don't know other characteristics.
You find out later in the movie, there's a super tense scene, and it's one of my favorite scenes in a Marvel movie, where Peter Parker goes to pick her up for prom, and her dad answers the door, and her dad is Vulture. What's the actor's name?
Batman.
What?
Batman.
Yeah, Batman. God, what? Why is his name? Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
You see, I liked him. I loved the beginning parts with him. He was cool.
Yeah. So he shows up, and her dad is Michael Keaton, the guy that they have been fighting. They've been fighting in costume, and they don't like.
Oh.
Spider-Man knows that's him, but Vulture has no idea that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. So there's this super tense scene where where Keaton is driving them to prom, and you can see it in his eyes as he's looking in the rearview mirror talking to Spider-Man. You can see him unraveling it and figuring out that he is Spider-Man and he's taking his daughter to prom. It's one of my favorite scenes in a Marvel movie. I wish you would have stuck with it, Biggie!
Oh, great. I'll definitely go watch that.
Yeah, right. Why don't you go watch fucking Dungeons & Dragons, you asshole.
Oh, goodness. I don't really have a... Oh, I guess that was really my film was Spider-Man Homecoming. I'm sure there's a bunch of other films I quit watching, but those are the only two I remember.
Okay, well, I have to ask now, because you don't like Homecoming. Did you watch the other Spider-Man movies, and what did you think about them?
I did not watch any of the Amazing Spider-Man ones. I didn't care about that actor either.
If you literally spoke positively of the other ones and didn't like Homecoming, I probably just would have laid an egg at this point.
Oh, no. No, they look like such garbage. I was not interested. Now, I love the Tobey Maguire ones. They were fine. Really enjoyed those. Especially Spider-Man 2. That was probably my
Spider-Man
favorite.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 is up there with one of my favorite comic
book movies.
That was
probably
one
of the better. I actually prefer the sequel to the first one.
Doc Ock was so well handled. I don't know how he was compared to the
Peter Parker, smart but lazy.
You know what it was? It was those fucking Sam Raimi goddamn terror scenes.
Oh,
one
yeah.
when he awakens from getting it, like where the surgeons are trying to remove the arms, mm-hmm. and he awakens and kills the whole surgery room.
Yeah.
It's so Sam Raimi, like it has those Evil Dead elements. And then the other part is when they're sitting in the coffee shop and you can hear the stomping of his arms moving across the thing, and it zooms in. Every time there's a stomp, it zooms in on someone's face, and then it goes to outside and all the bystanders, it's like close ups of their faces screaming. It was shot so wonderfully. I love Sam Raimi.
Absolutely.
This is a perfect segue. I would love to have a mini episode of us discussing Darkman.
Yeah.
Because it's probably one of my favorite movies. Because it's a superhero movie, but it's not, because it is. But it's like before everything happened, it's a Raimi. And I just love it. The anti-hero, scarred hero character. And that'd be a fun, especially if Biggie's never seen it before.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen it. We'll put that on the list. That sounds like a fun time. Well, you guys
Liam
feel...
Neeson at his best.
Oh, Liam Neeson, really?
Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. What do you guys feel about Blank Man?
Oh, the Damon Wayans vehicle feature film?
Yeah, that's Yeah, I'm not going to start throwing some obscure superhero films.
Yeah. You're going to make us watch that piece of shit and then claim it's the best movie ever made?
All right, would you rather watch Blank Man or Catwoman?
Oh,
Blank Man, of course.
Blank Man.
Okay, I'm probably gonna pick Catwoman next time.
No, bad, Biggie.
This Catwoman is a film everyone should experience.
I
preferably
offered you a proposal on how to stop this cold war of bad movies, but if you make me watch Catwoman, I'm gonna make you watch Elektra.
Oh, that is one I haven't gotten around to yet. Who's it? Jennifer Gardner? Was that?
Yeah.
Man, yeah. She's so hot.
You like those strong draws?
Strong draws?
Jawline. Very strong, sharp jawline.
Yeah. I kind of look more at her boobs than her ass. But yeah, the jaw looks pretty nice, too. All right.
What boobs and ass?
Oh, she's got some boobs and ass. Just, enough for some shade.
She doesn't do it for me.
She doesn't do it for you. That's fair. Yeah. That's definitely fair. You know who I really like? She is fit. She is fit.
Yeah, very fit. I'm coming to the realization, Biggie, that you might be my arch nemesis in life.
I'm not, You know, I kind of started getting that feeling too during the Away Out stream. Like, we might be arch nemesis.
Oh boy.
Interesting. Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Oh, Guido, do you have another suggestion for the week?
Oh gosh. No, I don't. I should have prepared something, but I don't. Sorry.
Oh, I put you on the spot. Wally, you have a suggestion for anyone? Maybe they should go check it out. Should they check out the new Joaquin Phoenix film?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. And if you wanted a throwback old movie that I just brought up, go see Darkman. Go rent it somewhere.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Oh, I hope you had a blast. I know I've had a lot of fun on this episode. Yeah. Fellas, thank you so much for joining me once again.
Well, absolutely.
And we'll see you all next week. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.